good one. Yeah. So I was thinking that actually, if all Vaishnavas united think positive about you, Krishna has no other choice than to think positive about you too, right? Huh? Yes and no. I can give you an example. For example, when Krishna ate mud, and Sanatan Goswami actually explains that he did really eat mud. So Madre Yashoda asked him, did you eat mud? And Krishna said no. So actually Krishna was lying, right? But Krishna is the absolute truth. So whatever he says is the absolute truth. It cannot be a lie. But if he wants, he can lie. But when he's lying, he's not lying. So like that, yes, Krishna is completely independent. But at the same time, he likes to do what is pleasing his devotees. And so I was thinking that if all devotees will think somehow positive, at least devotees in this room, if I will please them somehow by that katha about Krishna and Radha and Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, then I have a chance that Krishna will also think positive about me. It's not guaranteed. Yeah, sure, Krishna is independent. But I have a chance, right? There is a quite big chance. You know? Actually, when Jayananda Thakur, when he left his body, I heard directly from my devotees who were present at that time at the temple, and they said it was actually an amazing experience. They didn't know that he left the body. He left the body in the beginning of Mangala Arati. And when the Mangala Arati started, devotees, they told me, I spoke with several of them, and they told me that they felt amazing, feelings. They had very nice feelings, and then the whole Mangala Arati was the most ecstatic they ever experienced. And then later on they found out that Jayananda Thakur left the body, and in Brihadbhagavatamrita it is explained that when great jiva is leaving the material world and is entering the spiritual realm, it's a big festival. Maybe not here on the planet Earth, but in upper planetary system it's a big festival, huge one. You know, all planetary system, they are very happy about it happening. So obviously devotees, they felt that during the kirtan also. And Srila Prabhupada, he first mentioned that it is possible that Jayananda Thakur went to higher planetary system where he continues with devotional service. But when he found out that he left the body in the association of devotees and they were chanting the holy name with him and like that, Prabhupada then said that Jayananda Thakur went back to Gorhat. So I feel that devotees' presence and their, let's say, positive thinking about you. So I know that sometimes we are having, at least me, sometimes getting some also not so positive things in the mind. But maybe during this time, now during the class, we can try positive. And I will try to make you happy, don't worry. So I was thinking that I kind of split the class in two parts. And we are supposed to have at 8 is the prasadam? No, darshan. At 8 is the darshan. And then after darshan is the prasadam? Yeah, so I believe everybody is anxious to do this right after darshan, right? You are anxious for the darshan. Yes, I'm more for prasadam type. But I will just grab your lotus feet and I will stick there. And so I was thinking I will split it into parts. I hope I will cover everything. But I was thinking I will first say I will speak about one Leela, about Chaitanya and Nityananda. And then I will say I have some philosophy to mention a little bit. So I was thinking, usually it is said in the beginning and then you finish with the Leela, but I was thinking that maybe I will not have time to finish with the Leela. And philosophy everybody knows, right, here. So, and I was thinking that if I will say the Leela, the devotees will be more happy. Because when there is Lord Nityananda, usually it's a lot of fun, you know, in the Leela. So I was thinking I will first say the pastime. Is it okay? I can make it like that, yeah? So this pastime I was looking at the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is in Madhya Leela in the 3rd chapter. It is called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stays in the house of the Advaita Acharya. And it happens just after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Is someone here who doesn't know what sannyas is? Is there some new people, maybe? Okay, everybody is like well grounded. Okay, cool. So he took sannyas. That was quite heartbreaking experience for many devotees because he shaved his nice heads, nice hairs. That was different story, no? Than when Rama was shaving the heads of Ravana. Sorry, I'm going through many things in lately, you know. So it just slipped into my mind. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he shaved his hairs, the devotees were actually devastated from that, and but that was his decision. And as I forgot your name, Prabhuji, what is your name? Dhananjaya Prabhu. Yeah, and then Dhananjaya Prabhu pointed out that what I wanted to say now. when he took sannyas, so devotees, they really felt devastated from that. But, oh yeah, you pointed out that Krishna is independent. So as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, so he's independent too, right? So although many devotees, they were really not happy about the decision that he's taking sannyas, but he did it anyway. And devotees, they just went with it. That's how we go with Krishna, right? In our lives, Krishna makes some decisions and we go with it, you know. And sometimes Krishna does along our ideas, but sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he goes different way and we have to adjust. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he decided that he will go to Vrindavan after that. And Mukunda, Chandrasekhar and Nityananda, they went together with him. But Nityananda had other plans in the mind. Nityananda Prabhu is also independent because he is no one else that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram. Although his role as Krishna is slightly different. Krishna is, I hope I will get it right, it is Sevan Bhagavan, right? And then Balaram is Sevak Bhagavan. Is it correct? Did I get it right? Yeah? Abhinanda? Yeah? So that means that Krishna, he is the God which is accepting the service. And Balaram is the God which is providing service for Krishna. So in this way, Nityananda is always providing and facilitating the pastimes for the Lord. So when they went to Vrindavan, actually they, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in great ecstasy and he was not really sure where is he going, so he led it other devotees, like Nityananda Prabhu, to guide him where to go. And Nityananda Prabhu had other plan than to go to Vrindavan, so they entered the area which is called Radhadesha. It's actually not connected with Radharani. It's connected with something else. Srila Prabhupada said it's a twisted word from Rashtra Desha. And when they were in that area, it says that whoever saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were chanting, Hari, Hari, Hari! And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with this behavior of the people. And they met some cowherd boys, and they also saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they started to chant also, Hari, Hari, Hari! And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, oh, please go on, chant like that, continue like this. And then Nityananda Prabhu, he went to these cowherd boys, and he told them that when this sannyasi, when he will ask you, where is Vrindavan, you point him other direction, which is the road which goes along the Ganga. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked them, where is the Vrindavan? And they pointed that way which Nityananda Prabhu told them. I was actually wondering how Nityananda Prabhu managed to convince them that they should actually say that, right? Because just imagine, you come completely as a stranger to someone and said, if my friend will ask you what is this direction, tell him opposite way. So it will not be that easy, right? But then I remember that when I was in India, whenever you ask for a direction, it never happened, Abhinanda, you maybe have same experience, it never happened that people will tell you no. They always know. Of course, it's not sure if this is the right direction, but they know that you should go somewhere, and they always pointed you somewhere. You know? So you have to be kind of careful. So I don't think it was a really big deal for these boys to say that, you know, based on that experience. And So they decided to go that way. And when they came to, actually, when before they went there, the Nityananda Prabhu, he sent Chandrasekhar, right? He sent him ahead and he said, inform Advaita Acharya that we will come so that he will be ready, you know, with the cloth and also in the home will be ready, prasadam, like that. So the Chandrasekhar Acharya left and they went together with Mukunda Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when they came to Shantipur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took bath in the Ganga there. And then when he was standing there with wet cloth, because he didn't have any replacement cloth, Advaita Acharya came there on the boat and he approached the Lord. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started to like trying to figure out like, wait a second, what is happening here? I'm supposed to be in Vrindavan. So he asked, Advaita, how did you know that I will be in Vrindavan? And then, of course, Advaita Acharya, he revealed the whole thing. And he said, well, wherever you are, my Lord, there is a Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it became clear to him, said, Nityananda cheated me. He said that we are going to Vrindavan and that this is Yamuna. And Advaita Acharya said, well, he didn't technically cheated you, because in Allahabad, Ganga and Yamuna, they confluence, it is called in English, right? Yes. And so they actually flow on one side, it is on the western side is a Yamuna, and the eastern is a Ganga. So when they came to Shantipur, they were on the western side. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking bath, he was actually taking it in Yamuna. So Nityananda really didn't lie. He didn't cheat him. So you can see, Krishna can say many things and they can come true, right? Anyway, so then Advaita Acharya, he offered the new cloth for the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then they went together with him and Lord Nityananda to his house, where Advaita Acharya prepared amazing prasadam, amazing feast. I was just wondering, that, should I read a few of these preparations which they prepared for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Is it, what do you think? I hope I will not... You want to read these preparations? You will, at the end of the lecture, you will get the preparations, you know. It's just few. You think you will be getting more hungry? Or? It's mentioned that because Advaita Acharya said that let's come to my house and let's go for a prasada. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like, yeah, but I'm a sannyasi and, you know, I'm renounced. I cannot really, like, go for, like, some big feast and like that. And Advaita Acharya said, no, it's nothing big. It's just, like, a few palms of rice, right? And then maybe some liquid, sabji, liquid vegetable, and then little shark, you know, and that's it, right? So he introduced it like that. But interesting enough that when they came inside, let me see if I found it, I think it's somewhere here. Okay, I will just read a few of them, it's quite a description. But so all prepared food was divided in three equal parts, and one part was arranged on metal plate for offering to Lord Krishna. So it was actually on three plates, just you get the idea. It was a big thing. It was probably. Have you been to Mayapur? So when you get this Mahaprasad from Panchatattva or Radha Madhava, so it's like a huge plate, you know. So it's mentioned also here it was big plate, and around there were also some small, and like that. So this was for Krishna for offering, and then there were like huge banana leaves. If you go to India, it's quite not just India, it's many Asian places. You can eat from banana leaves. So they cut them from a tree, and usually they cut them. Sometimes on a half, sometimes they cut them on a four pieces. Depends how big they are. And here is mentioned that these trees, they were really from really big banana trees. For some reason, it's mentioned that these banana trees, they could keep, they could grow at least, I think, 32 bunches of bananas. That's probably a big tree. What do you think of banana? It's a big tree? Right. Huh? Yeah, technically it's not tree. I heard that banana tree is actually a flower from heavenly planets. Anyway, if you want, you can verify it. I'm not saying it for sure like that. I heard this from Bhakti Charu Maharaj. So you can imagine that these leaves, if they are really big, they can go, some of them like that, peacefully, you know, and they can be this much wide. So, and this, there were like two leaves full of this prasadam, and then also this big plate, right? So that it's mentioned here that the cooked rice was a stack of very fine grains, nicely cooked, and in the middle was yellow clarified butter from the milk of cows. So that's usually when you make a big pile of rice, you drop some ghee on the top. You know? So if you invite some guests to your home, you make some rice, drop them some ghee on the top. And surrounding the stack of rice were pots made of skins of banana trees, and in these pots were varieties of vegetables and mung dal. Among cooked vegetables were patola, squash, manachashu, and the salad made with pieces of ginger and various types of spinach. There was a shukta, bitter melon, mixed with all kinds of vegetables, defying the taste of nectar. There were 5 types of bitter and pungent shuktas. Among the various vegetables were newly grown leaves of nimba trees fried with eggplant. The fruit known as patola was fried with pulabadi. I have no idea what is that. A kind of dal preparation, first mashed and then dried in the sun. There was also preparation known as kushmandi manachaki. The preparation made with coconut pulp mixed with curd and rock candy was very sweet. There was a curry made of banana flowers and squash boiled in milk in great quantity. There were small cakes in sweet and sour sauce and 5 or 6 kinds of sour preparations. All vegetables were so made that everyone present could take prasadam. There were soft cakes made with mung dal. Someone made it ever? Cakes from the mung dal? Ladies? Nope? Okay, you can get inspiration because Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here that our editors for Krishna these cookbooks, they should include all those preparations in the cookbook. So I don't know if it happened, but as Prabhupada mentioned there. So then soft cakes made with ripe bananas, soft cakes made with urad dal. There were various kinds of sweet meats, condensed milk mixed with rice cakes, a coconut preparation, and every kind of cake desirable. All the vegetables were served in the pots made of banana leaves taken from trees producing at least, again, 32 bunches of bananas. So it's obviously an important thing when it comes to the banana production. These pots were very strong and big and did not tilt or totter. So that means they were very solid, right? So no problem. All around the tree eating places were 100 pots filled with various kinds of vegetables and like that. I will not read everything, okay? Fine? Is it good? So, just to get you get the idea what the place looked like, you know. So when Advaita Acharya said to Mahaprabhu that there will be just palm or 2 palms of rice and little liquid vegetable and like that, so that was not the case. Anyway, when they saw this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually was very pleased with that, and he said that whoever prepared these preparations, he will accept his dust from his feet on his head, you know. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very pleased when we are offering Krishna nice preparations. That's definitely important part of a Bhakti Yoga, right? I believe this eating section is also very important, correct? And after they like saw these preparations, so then there was a arati. That's usually when the food is offered to the Lord, then it's followed by the arati. And after that, Advaita Acharya invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda for taking prasadam. And Nityananda also called Mukunda and Haridas, who are there also, but they politely refused. Mukunda, I think he said that he has something important to do, and Haridas, he mentioned that he is like considered the lowest from the lowest, and then he will take prasadam so later. He's very humble, you know, so this is his nature. So obviously, there was some plan that Nityananda and Chaitanya should take this prasadam alone, which is Advaita Acharya. So then when there was this plates distributed like that, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, let's sit down, all of us, with Advaita Acharya. And then Advaita Acharya said, no, just you two, please sit down. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started to argue with Advaita Acharya that I am a sannyasi, I cannot eat so much. And Advaita Acharya said, stop concealing your identity. I know who you are. So please, and what is interesting when you read it, it's quite interesting. He was quite persistent, quite strong. He was not really much backing up, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was refusing. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again tried, like, no, but you know, people will criticize me because I'm sannyasi, I cannot behave like that. Advaita Acharya pointed out that actually you are not different from Lord Jagannath, from Jagannath Puri. Right? And in Jagannath Puri, there are 54 offerings, and each offering is hundreds of the pots. Right? So if you can consume this in Puri, why you cannot consume this here? And I was just wondering, how is it functioning? Because when Krishna was with cowherd boys in the forest of Vrindavan, it is mentioned that when Krishna, because I was wondering, like, okay, let's say for hypothetical discussion that let's say that you become, or I will become cowherd boy, okay, or I'm cowherd boy, and I was wondering that, but how I will fit in there? It's like I will come now, much later than anybody is there already, right? And it's mentioned that there are like hundreds of thousands of cowherd boys. So you will be just as a speck somewhere. You know? It's like Krishna will not even know that you are there, right? So I was thinking like that. It's material way of thinking. And it is mentioned that Krishna sometimes, when he went in the forest, and then he stood, and he was enjoying the scenery, the beauty of Vrindavan. Some boys, when they saw it, they screamed like, I will run and I will touch Krishna first. And the other boy said, no, I will run and I will touch Krishna first. And they start to run. And then all of them, now just imagine, hundreds of thousands of them, they start to do this. They run and they want to touch Krishna first. And it is mentioned, there was no, how is it called? Stampede? How is it pronounced? Stampede? There is no stampede. You know? It's like in Hindu temples, like big festival, they kill a few people, you know. Nothing like that. It was no pushing. It is mentioned that each boy had opportunity to run without any hindrance, without any obstacle, and touch Krishna. That's the spiritual world. Spiritual world doesn't have that material measurements what we are used to. It allows the full-fledged capacity. Krishna can put in this room, he can put several universes if he will want to. Because there is no limitation for him. Right. So the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can eat as much as he wants. There is no limit. And he will prove it soon. Right. So then, when they sit down, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was kind of reluctant, right, to eat. But opposite to Nityananda Prabhu, it was a different story. Nityananda Prabhu, I was thinking I will be reading it because it's so good, so I will not be missing some good parts, you know. It's just few shlokas. So, I hope I didn't skip. Upon saying this, Advaita Acharya supplied water to the two lords so that they could wash their hands. The two lords then sat down and, smiling, began to eat prasadam. Nityananda Prabhu said, okay, this is our Nityananda we're celebrating today. Okay, Nityananda Prabhu. I have undergone fasting for 3 days continuously. Today, I have hoped to break my fast. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking that the quantity of food was enormous, Nityananda Prabhu, on the contrary, thought it's not even a morsel. He had been fasting for 3 days and had greatly hoped to break the fast on that day. Indeed, he said, although I am invited to eat by Advaita Acharya today, is also a fast. So small a quantity of food will not fill even half of my belly. And Advaita Acharya replied, Sir, you are a mendicant traveling on pilgrimage. Sometimes you eat fruits and roots, and sometimes you simply go on fasting. I am a poor Brahmana. I have come to my home. Please be satisfied with whatever little food you have received and give up your greedy mentality. You have to understand that Nityananda and Advaita are very close. You know, it's like you will have some very close friends. So sometimes they can say some things which others can maybe not really understand what's going on. But Chitra Mahaprabhu understood very well. Lord Nityananda Prabhu replied, Whatever I may be, you have invited me. Therefore, you must supply as much as I want to eat. That's the right guest, right? that's the spirit. His Divine Grace, Advaita Acharya, after hearing the statement of Nityananda Prabhu, took the opportunity presented by the joking words and spoke to him as follows. Advaita Acharya said, You are a reject Paramahamsa and you have accepted the renounce order of life just to fill up your belly. I can understand that your business is to give trouble to the Brahmanas. What they are presenting here, it's like a discussion between Vaishnava, Goswami, and Smarta Brahmana. Smarta Brahmana, it's like these are Brahmanas which are very much hanging on the rules and regulations, and they are not really getting the real goal of a Vedanta. They study Vedanta, they live accordingly, but they don't really get the real goal of a Vedanta. Actually, that's what is very interesting about Vedanta. Vedanta itself is major part of Vedas is describing material energy and material world. Traiguna Vishaveda Nistraiguna Bhavarjuna Nitvando Nitasatasto Niryoga Kshema Atma Krishna Sadim Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna, don't rely so much on Vedanta. Vedanta is anyway mainly dealing with the modes of the nature, with the material energy. Right? Then also Vyasadev, when he combined Vedanta, he wrote all Vedas. And what was his reaction after he wrote all Vedas? He did so much service. How did he feel? He was not happy. Right? Does it happen sometimes to you? You do so much service for Krishna, you don't feel so happy? It happens to you sometimes or just me? No? Never? You're always very happy when you do service? Okay, good. Then I'm in the right association. So he was not feeling happy, right? So when his spiritual master Narada Muni came, what did he tell him? You can come to spiritual master and say, Guru Maharaj, I did so much seva for Krishna, I'm not feeling happy. That's okay. Vyasadev said that also, right? What Narada Muni told him? He said, you make it even more complicated for the living entities in material world. When they will read Vedas, they will think, oh, now we are reading something spiritual. They will get actually more entangled in material energy. You have to make it clear that the Vedas, the main goal is devotional service and lotus feet of the Lord Krishna. Okay. So then Vyasadeva did what? He wrote commentary on Vedas, on Vedanta Sutra, to make it clear what is it about. Right? So he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam to make it understandable. Actually, Vedas deal mainly about material energy, but it's not the goal of the Vedas. The goal of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. So, when was the last point we stopped? Do you remember? With our story? Smart one. Oh, yeah, smart one. Very good. Yeah. This one is the smart one. He's not smart Brahmana. Well, he's smart Brahmin, but not smart Brahmin. Does it make sense? Thank you, Mahatmananda Prabhu. So, Smarta Brahmanas, they are kind of, they know a lot of about Vedas, but they don't really know the final goal. Right? What is it? Yavan arta udapane sarvatam sambhudodake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanata. The one who knows the real purpose of the Vedanta, he doesn't need to study all small parts here and there. Same way, the one who is utilizing the lake, he doesn't need to go to the well, right? But these Brahmanas, they have it opposite. They go to the wells, they don't care for the lake. So they study small, small parts of the Vedas, and they don't understand that Vedanta Krit, Vedavit Eva Chaham, Krishna is the goal of Vedanta. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, right? I am the goal of Vedanta. So they are never playing here like that a little bit, you know, Advaita Acharya and Nityananda, right? Advaita Acharya accused Nityananda Prabhu saying, you can eat 10 to 20 manas of rice. Just the footnote, one mana is around 4 kg of rice. So he said, you can eat 10 to 20 manas of rice. So you can multiply, right? It was like, what is it? 40 to 80 kg of rice. I am a poor Brahmin. How shall I get so much rice? Whatever you have, though it be a poundful of rice, please eat it and get up. Don't show your madness and strew the remnants of food here and there. So in this way, Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate and talked with Advaita Acharya jokingly. After eating half of each vegetable, anyway, this is another part, but there is a few more points. So there is also mentioned how Advaita Acharya served to Lord Chaitanya, that whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate half of that particular preparation, Advaita Acharya immediately came and filled it up. So if you have guests in your home coming, you can learn this technique, you know. So when they eat half, fill it up, eat half, fill it up. Especially if they are more advanced devotees. Or if you are lucky and you get pure devotees in your home, then definitely you should do that. So you will get a lot of remnants. That was one of the arguments of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said that as a sannyasi, I'm supposed not to leave any remnants. But actually that was the intention of Advaita Acharya, so that there will be some remnants. And right, in material realm, if you read remnants after someone, it is not considered something great. But in the spiritual realm, if you read the remnants, Srila Prabhupada is actually spending a while there in the purports. If you read the remnants after advanced personalities, you will develop the same mentality. You can get benefited by that. In material realm, well, I believe you will get benefited somehow too, but it will be more down the hill road, you know, in material world. So, how it is, I don't know. We have in my country, maybe you have in Slovenia also, but we have that whose food you are eating, those songs you should sing. I don't know how it will be. In Czech it sounds like koho jíloíš, toho píseň zpívej. Does it ring the bell? Okay, so we are eating Krishna's food, right? Krishna prasadam, so we are singing Krishna songs. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't want to leave the remnants, but Advaita Acharya wanted a lot of them. And I think there is one more short. So in this way, by submitting various humble requests, Advaita Acharya made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda eat. Thus Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fulfilled all desires of Advaita Acharya. Again, Nityananda Prabhu jokingly said, my belly is not yet filled up. Please take away your food. I have not taken the least of it. And he threw a little bit. You know, like he was like kind of like angrily pushed away this food. And what happened that actually some pieces of the rice sticked to the fell on the Acharya, Advaita Acharya's body and stick to it. So Advaita Acharya became very ecstatic and he started to dance in ecstasy, right? And Advaita Acharya jokingly said, my dear Nityananda, I invited you, and indeed I have received the results. You have no fixed caste or dynasty. By nature, you are a madman. To make me a madman like yourself, you have thrown the remnants of your food at me. You did not even fear the fact that I am a Brahmana. So Prabhupada explained that even if prasadam touch someone, it will have influence. Well, to speak if you will eat it, right? Did you have chance? Did you eat sometimes the remnants after some great personality? Did it happen? Did it occur to you? Please raise your hand. Who had this chance? Okay, there is still a lot. So hopefully we will meet some great personalities in our life. And one time I invited two great personalities to our home. And I washed their feet. And then I drink all his water. Don't take it out of this room, please. You know, some people from outside, they will get a little confused by that information. But you know what was interesting? I felt amazing after that. It did work immediately. I felt immediate effect on my consciousness. Nityananda Prabhu replied, "These are the remnants of food left by Lord Krishna. If you take them to be ordinary remnants, you have committed an offense. If you invite at least 100 sannyasis to your home and feed them sumptuously, your offense will be nullified." Advaita Acharya replied, "I shall never again invite another sannyasi, for it is a sannyasi who has spoiled all my brahmanical smriti regulations." Right. So like that, Advaita and Nityananda, they were exchanging loving exchanges, wonderful pastimes between themselves. And after, of course, they completed their prasadam, they washed their mouths and their hands, and Advaita Acharya smeared their bodies with sandalwood pulp and put some garland flowers on them and put Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the bed, and he wanted to massage him. But then it's slowly starting another part of the story, which first thing, we don't have time for it today. And that I was not even planning to do. So I hope you enjoy that. You had some good time. I just wanted to mention that Srila Prabhupada mentions in one class for Nityananda Trayodashi that Nityananda is Lord Balaram. And Bala means strength. Srila Prabhupada is explaining this interesting point. He says that some impersonalists or materialists, they are explaining that Bala as a material strength. And he said that some people, they think that in order to make spiritual progress, you have to become very strong. Prabhupada even mentioned that you have to become very strong, you have to eat meat, and you have to fight. And then you can make spiritual progress. Now, Srila Prabhupada said that's not correct. That's not proper understanding. Because that strength is coming from Lord Balaram. It's not coming from the outside. Right? And I was thinking, I just wanted to put a little, how to say, one angle to it also, that at the same time, we don't neglect the care of our psychophysical condition, right? The strength, Lord Balaram is the strength, and especially spiritual strength. So if you can sit and you can focus on the holy name, that's coming from the Lord Balaram. If you can sit and you can focus on Krishna Katha, that comes from the Lord Balaram. Right? If you have determination and the strength to perform your sadhana or go through some difficult situations in life and still be faithful to Krishna, that strength comes from Lord Balaram. But at the same time, Krishna is giving us intellect that we can live balanced life so that Lord Balaram has a space to give us this strength. Because if we will be acting such a way that we will be going against the will of Lord Balaram. For example, we got this mind, this intellect and this body, right? And then it's a gift from the Krishna. And then Lord Balaram, he can give us a lot of strength. But if we are neglecting, taking care for that gift from Krishna, which we can serve the Lord, right? Like in human bodies, you can sit here half an hour, 1 hour. I can see you are very peaceful. You are patient. Only humans can do that. If you put any other living being from this world, they cannot do it. They cannot develop higher consciousness by this listening Krishna katha. They can get benefited for sure, but they cannot develop higher consciousness just by practicing it. And that Krishna is speaking in Bhagavad Gita about that, that if you don't live balanced life, he says you cannot become a yogi. And just figure, it means bhakti yogi too. If we don't live balanced life, we cannot become also bhakti yogi. Right. So if we just don't utilize that opportunity the right way, Lord Balaram has unlimited strength and he can provide as much as we want or as much as we need. But at the same time, it's a combination of two things, right? Do you remember when Yashoda was trying to bind Krishna? There are always two things. There is always our endeavor and there is always Krishna's mercy. Right? And especially Balaram's mercy. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Nityananda, all Balaram, we are fully dependent on them in our life and fully dependent on their mercy. And he is actually saying that we have to become dog of Lord Nityananda. This is our chance how to make progress. Right? And that means that we actually utilize that body the right way, that we can live balanced life and we can practice Krishna consciousness, that we have a plan to practice it for a long, not just for 10 days or 10 years or short time. Hare Krishna, Prabhus. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki. Would you like someone to add something or ask some question? Is it okay? Did you feel a little happy or a little positive? Yes? Ekachakra Prabhu?
Yes.
Would you like to say something?
I just want to say yes.
Amazing. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, bro. Marcel, right?
I would just like to ask, when you mentioned the importance of living like the balanced life, so could you tell some more about main principles of balancing, main principles that we should follow in order to live balanced life that is conducive for our spiritual life? So could you tell something more about this?
Yeah, we have two type of bodies. One is the gross body, what everybody can see, right? And then we have subtle body. You cannot see that, but it's there. And both of those bodies, they have to be balanced, not just one. We cannot neglect either one. And, for example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he speaks about certain things which has to be done for the maintenance of the body. I remember, he's saying about six things, I don't know if I would remember all of them. He says, for example, mental development or mental growth, or you can say personal growth, is important. Then he says that nourishment, or you would say, you can also translate it as a lifestyle, your habits, right? What kind of how do you eat if you have some exercise or if you are having like a good lifestyle that you are somehow feeling healthy and happy, right? Then struggle for the existence. Let me see. Cleanliness, and there are two more. It's in you can find it. It's in Sri Upanishad. Srila Prabhupada is quoting it in Mantra 17. So these are things which many devotees they think it's not important, right? Because I'm already chanting the holy name. I'm already beyond that, right? And we are chanting many years. Usually, I'm not saying everyone. But many of us, we are chanting on the level of Nama Aparada. If you chant Shuddhanam, you don't need anything. You don't need any support of material energy. But even then, devotees, they still did. Like Srila Prabhupada, he was chanting Shuddhanam, but still, he was exercising every day, right? He was having morning walk, brisk walk, He was trying to eat healthy. So still, he was taking care for it. But there are cases of devotees who chant Shuddhanam and they didn't. Like, if you take Rupa Sanatana Goswami, their lifestyle was not really healthy, they were not sleeping or not eating, for many days, right? So, but they were not influenced by that. But we have to see what impact it has the lifestyle we do live. Because when you sit in morning and you want to chant the holy name, right? Hare Krishna. So your mind has to be somewhat peaceful. You have to be somewhat content on a material platform in order to actually get absorbed in the holy name. You can have some occasions that even if nothing is well balanced, you can still get absorbed, right? It happens. But most of the time it's very difficult. So you get the help from Krishna, which is called intellect. The last six chapters of Bhagavad Gita are based on intellect. He says that by using intellect, you can make your bhakti more successful. So last, from 13 till 18, he's speaking about that. Use your intellect. I'm giving you knowledge now. You can orient yourself in this material world better. You'll be more successful in devotional service. To the degree you will develop strong attachment to me. Then that will not be any more so important. But till you come to that point, it is extremely important. So therefore, we have to see. We cannot imitate advanced levels. Although these advanced levels are the most attractive and they are the best. But by imitating advanced levels, you will not get there. The fake it till you make it doesn't work in bhakti. You have to be real to yourself. That means I'm here, okay. So Prabhupada says that if someone sleeps more than 6 hours, he's in Maya. Correct? He says in Mampas, in Bhagavad Gita. Someone, he says 7 hours, right? But maybe someone need maybe 8 hours. Then what? Srila Prabhupada gave one instruction to one devotee. He was attached to drinking wine. And he told him that, okay, you offer the water which is in the wine and drink this wine with this consciousness that it belongs to Krishna. Right? And then he stopped after a while with that. So if you look, that instruction is not in Pancharatna Praripa. In a sense, Prabhupada made it up, that instruction. But that instruction helped the disciple to come to that point that he could practice more effectively. So sometimes we have to see what is our level in order to practice effectively for the rest of our life. Because sometimes if we imitate some level and we are not there, what will happen is that we create some kind of like a bubble which we ourselves believe and others too. And it is called, because if you want to practice spiritual life, you have to get to the stage of healthy false ego. If you are on the stage of sick false ego, you don't even know who you are on material platform, then you cannot practice spiritual life because you are not normal. Right. First conscious, then Krishna conscious. So we are, in our terms, we are calling it Varnashrama institution, right? That means that you act according to your psychophysical tendencies. And in this way you become much more successful in your spiritual life actually. And gradually, those material needs which are there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining, they will gradually diminish in time. But it will come naturally. It's something which comes spontaneous from the heart. It's not just like, okay, pure devotee acts like this. Okay, I will act like that and I will become... No, it doesn't work like that. That we are putting ourselves in another illusion which looks like a spiritual... It looks like a spiritual ego, but it is another form of false ego. Does it make sense?
Thank you.
Okay. My head is cut off now. Thank you, Shabrabharaki.